Peter Godfrey.
Email on air at 5AA.com.au.
Interactive Radio. 1395 Adelaide's 5AA.
17 after 5. Let's head across the ditch to New Zealand. Big weekend coming up in New Zealand. Their election. So let's find out how things are shaping up the last few days. Selwyn Manning from scoop.co.nz. Hi, Selwyn.
Yeah, g'day, Peter.
Exciting times.
Yeah, it is a bit. Perhaps not as exciting as the World Cup final, you know, the rugby one. But it's getting up there, I suppose.
All right. Yeah. So Saturday's the big day.
Yes.
How are things shaping up so far?
Well, it's an interesting one. You know, like we've always said, it looked like the Nationals were going to storm in. The expectation is that the Nationals will still get the majority of the, you know, the biggest share of the votes. I should have put it that way, not necessarily the majority. The poll trends have been that as the Prime Minister John Key goes in, the National leader, goes into this election campaign, that he was going to go in as the main favourite and the party well ahead. But what we've seen is a slow undoing of some areas of his credibility, and also his performance out there from a strategic point of view, and also the tactics he's used to achieve those strategic goals have been kind of dubious. And, we go back, if we look at, you know, some of the decisions he made to sit down and embrace some of the leaders of the right-wing party, like, you know, the candidates on the Epsom electorate in Auckland, which is significant for Nationals' plan. The main candidate there that they were trying to get over the line, if you like, is a guy called John Banks, a former Nationals cabinet minister, but he's currently a candidate for the ACT Party, and that sits on the right of National on the economic spectrum. It's kind of more right-wing. The Nationals want it to get into Parliament, because if it gets its electorate seat, it might drag in two MPs. And they've been campaigning, basically, to try and get the ACT Party candidate to win and not the National candidate to win. So it's kind of an odd thing. When he sat down for a cup of tea, we spoke on this last week. It was a complete disaster because they sat down and had a conversation, supposedly a private conversation, that was recorded by one of the media, and found that they were slagging off the leader of the ACT Party, apparently, and a number of other things that were contentious. That kind of thing, John Key's reply to that was, there was nothing in it. But he then went to the police and put a complaint to make sure it remained private and wasn't released to the public. So that bled for the whole week. So those kind of strategic kind of decisions seem to be...
That was never released, that audio?
No, it hasn't been. Okay. The cops actually arrived at the Herald on Sunday newspaper yesterday, and also Television New Zealand, with search warrants to get any material that they may have had on it. So it went to the High Court also this week. So the issue's kind of bled on and on and on. The Prime Minister, you know, if you looked at it objectively, you would see that, he was standing staunch on his right to, well, what he believed was his right to keep things private. But then if you looked at it from the other point of view too, is that sound in an election campaign when they called a press conference, have media everywhere, then tell them to get out of a cafe and then have a conversation they didn't want anyone to hear? Or it's a little bit silly, in a sense. Now, these leaders' debates have been going on too since I spoke to you last, Peter, and that has shown the public, I think, that both the leader of the Nationals, John Key, and also the leader of the Labor Party, Phil Goff, head-to-head, are pretty close. Their leadership style's completely different. Phil Goff's attention to numbers and detail in the numbers area has been, below par. But his ability to connect to social policy and the need and also problems in New Zealand and to come up and convey solutions to those has been very impressive for most watching these. On the other hand, John Key, going into these leaders' debates, at times kind of looks like he's like a schoolboy being told off. He gets this kind of petulant look on his face. Monday night, he on the leaders' debate, he had a similar kind of pattern, but it was even worse last night on the last leaders' debate, where every time Phil Goff would kind of point his finger at him and kind of tell him off on something, when John Key would get fidgety and different, he'd look and pull faces like, I don't really care what he thinks. And it was kind of like another side of him.
An arrogance, almost?
Yeah, it was certainly an arrogance, and this is the guy that most people kind of really like, because he's the kind of guy that you'd think, oh, if I was having a barbecue, he'd be great to have along.
Yeah,
you know, it's
yeah.
that kind of bloke kind of persona that he has. And to see him sitting there like that, maybe Crosby Textor or someone like that, you know, these spin maestros that the National Party calls on from time to time, maybe they've told John Key, well, play that sympathy thing, you know, play that, give a look when Phil Gough starts preaching, that gives the impression that, you know, you're indifferent to it, that he's just a plonker that doesn't really know what he's on about or something. You know, it's almost like he was schooled into doing it, but it just didn't look right out of two credible debaters. Just didn't look right in that respect. But details, Peter, you know, one of the things that came out last night in the leaders' debate was Phil Gough kind of put it to John Key, the leader of the National. I understand that your government has instructed the police to not recruit in the early year to save some money, blah, 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 it went on. And John Key looked totally thrown by that. And if you sift through the comments in reply, it looks like the Nationals have, from the government point of view, have told police, stop your recruiting, you've got to save some money. And that was a real out of left field, and you could see John Key trying to reel back and to get some sort of credibility. But here in New Zealand, I'm sure it's the same in South Australia, that any party that is going into an election and starts actually saying that they're going to cut numbers to the police and law and order, well, you know, the public do not like to hear that kind of thing. So that's something that is new, that Labor has obviously got from police contacts, and the police themselves have been told to keep silent on it from the government side until after the election, and that's very damaging. But as they head in to the election day on Saturday, if you're going to give a guess, one would say that the Nationals will have the biggest share of the vote, probably around 45-44%, somewhere around there. Labor way back on the early 30s% of the vote. The Green Party, it's looking very strong. You could have anything from 11% to 15%. So it's most likely to try and tie up with Labor on that, but it is still positioned where it can kind of work with the Nationals to get some policy through. You've got the New Zealand First Party, Peter, that went out of Parliament at the last election, but has made a strong surge back to try and get over the 5% threshold, that you need 5% to get into Parliament if you do not have an electorate seat here in under MMP. And New Zealand's first leader, Winston Peters, has been teetering around that 4%, and he's on the rise. So if he gets in there, whoa, he's saying he won't go into Parliament and into government with any party. He's saying he'll stay in the opposition benches and keep them honest on a bill-by-bill basis.
Oh, okay. So he's a bit of a wild card there, then. Almost.
He's a wild card.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, if he sticks to his word on that, it would be an interesting one. Okay. If anything can Yeah, the star performers. Yeah, Peters has been one of the star performers in that he really made his opportunity. As soon as that cup of tea debacle occurred last couple of weeks ago, you know, over these private tapes, Peters jumped into that space and dominated it for nearly a week. He's been a star performer and rising up from nowhere to come. You know, we'll know on Saturday whether or not he goes over the line. It looks like he possibly could, and if he does, that's going to be, yes, certainly the star of the show. The other one really standing out from an intellectual point of view has been the co-leader of the Greens, Russell Norman, and man, that guy can talk the economy, and it's a fascinating thing to see the Green Party actually developing to a degree where it has the respectability of what were once conservative voters. So that's another star. The other one would have to be Honi Harawira, who left the Māori Party earlier this year, and he has formed a new party called the Mana Party. And boy, that guy is showing leadership, you know, skills that we haven't seen around the politicians for a long time. And you know, they're looking at picking up. Well, he'll win his seat. So up in Te Tai Tokoro, right in the north of New Zealand, and it looks like it may pick up around 2.5% of the vote, which, because he wins his seat, that means he could draw in two other MPs, so it'd be three MPs in the House, and that makes all the difference to an opposition having a strong say and to try and stop the Nationals from selling off Kiwi assets, which is the public don't like at all.
Has this been one of the most interesting election campaigns for a while in New Zealand, or can you compare it to any others?
What is in evidence here is if you looked at the last election, the Labor Party had obviously been in Parliament for nearly a decade, in government, should I say, for nearly a decade, led by Helen Clark. And we knew what we had. John Key's Nationals, with John Key as the new leader, it positioned itself, and we all said it was Labor-light. So its policies when it went into the election were very similar to Labor, a little bit more conservative, a little bit more centre-right than Labor was positioning on, but pretty much the same. This time, there's a ditch between the two parties. Labor has gone more to the centre-left, going back to its core voters, really exposing some of the problems with the economy and how that affects the people here in New Zealand, and also really championing that view that state assets should stay in the hands of New Zealand's, the public of New Zealand, and not be flicked off to the share market like the Nationals want. So the handling of the economy has been a big thing, but it's certainly the consequences of, the impact of the economy problems on the population. And that's where the big difference is. Some of the core issues, social issues, are, acknowledged by both parties, but their solutions to those are remarkably different. So, it's a different... You can see there is a real choice out there. The smaller parties, like I mentioned, the Greens, now that's a big size of the vote for the Greens here. That would take in a lot of MPs into the House, more than they've ever had before. So, if it does fall the way that the poll trends are showing, and one would expect that it would be, those trends are accurate, then it's going to be a completely different parliament, and more diverse than we've ever seen before, Peter.
We'll find out from you this time next week, Selwyn. Enjoy the weekend. I'm sure you will, being in the thick of it there.
Yes, I certainly will enjoy it.
All right, we'll talk to you next week, Selwyn. Thanks.
Okay, mate. See ya.
Selwyn Manning from scoop.co.nz. It's 5:29. News with Ann Stone next.